Welcome to our continuing podcast series from IFR Magazine about topics important to accomplished pilots and instrument flight. These audio reports usually coincide with an article in the magazine, so if you haven't already, we suggest you check it out at www.ifr-magazine.com. Many pilots consider ASRS a get-out-of-jail-free card. Today, IFR's Glenn Pugh chats with Linda Connell, Director of the Aviation Safety Reporting System at NASA's Ames Research Center. You'll get to know the program, how it works, and what it can do for you.
So, Linda, tell us a little bit about what your role is over there at NASA with the ASRS program.
I am the NASA civil servant who is the director of the ASRS, and actually came over here in 1991 as a human factors researcher, because that's my background in research psychology and aviation human factors, and came over here to work in 1991 to look at all the data that's here and begin to tease out some of the kind of trends and patterns in human performance. And then in 1997, I became the director of the program and have been watching this incredible growth that we're going through right now in not only the model of reporting confidentially for safety, but just in the aviation community, really embracing this. It's 31 years old.
Let's get to the basics. What is the ASRS program? What's the acronym stand for?
It's Aviation Safety Reporting System.
And how does it work?
It is a confidential, voluntary, non-punitive program that has been set up jointly with the Federal Aviation Administration. And you can report to NASA as an honest broker, essentially, between yourself and the regulator, and tell basically the whole community of aviation what happened in a situation you might have found yourself in. Either you experienced a safety issue or an incident of some kind, or you were witnessed some kind of safety issue. All of that can come in here. Now, if the incident itself actually even involved a violation of the federal air regulations in an inadvertent way, basically it's acknowledging that people are doing the best they can, and sometimes a violation happens because of the complexity and the dynamic system of aviation and working in it. If you report that to the ASRS, the FAA has said we'll support that kind of reporting by not pursuing disciplinary action on those violations.
Well, now pilots usually think of the ASRS or NASA form as a get-out-of-jail-free card, and don't think about what happens to the information they provide. What does happen to the raw data of all those reports?
Yeah, and we're trying to emphasize this is a very mature system now, and so when you look at the reports that come in that might be directly related to the violation of a FAR, it's only running at around 40% of all reports. So the 60% beyond that is really very true, pure safety reporting. All of it, however, comes together to give us a good picture of what's going on in the aviation world out there every day. And so when the report comes in, it is immediately reviewed by two experts here. This is another unique aspect of the ASRS. We don't have data processors as per se. The first people who read it are actually pilots and air traffic controllers and maintenance technicians.
You know, that brings up a quick question. How big is the ASRS staff?
I have about 10 part-time expert analysts, and these are varieties of air carrier pilots, air traffic controllers, and maintenance that have retired from the aviation industry. Mm-hmm. You cannot work here and work in the industry at the same time. It's a conflict of interest. So they're part-time. Then we have contractor program manager and deputy program manager, so that's two more kind of at the management level. Then we have support staff in IT, in database administration, in kind of our graphic design, et cetera, and that runs about another five people. So I guess overall probably 25 people, maybe 30. Translates kind of full-time equivalents to about 22
Interesting. And I'm sorry, I interrupted. When a report first comes in, it's reviewed by pilots, and then
yes.
What happens?
And they verify kind of what's going on. But what they're looking for is high hazard events that need to be alerted to the system immediately. So they're looking for the kind of worst case things going on that are being reported to the system. They also triage for anything that might be new emerging trends, something we haven't seen before, or maybe a new wrinkle on an old problem, or any of that kind of thing. The more serious of events are tagged immediately, and they go through a different process called the alert process. And the others move forward through another kind of layering of safety, safety level. Then a final selection is made about which reports of the many that come in here we can process through what we call a full evaluation or a full coding effort. And that data is what you'll see on the online database for ASRS. Hmm. It's been fully analyzed by our experts, coded into several categories and a consistency. Talks about the kind of human factor contributions that might be going on. And that is what is available to the public through that process.
Are there any instances you can think of where regulatory or procedural changes came about based on ASRS feedback?
Oh, yeah. There's been numerous. You know, having been in this kind of business for 30 years, it's been really very interesting to watch kind of the results that they come out of the system. And one specifically that was probably several years ago was the sterile cockpit rule. If you're familiar with that, everything used to be kind of, done or quiet during any flying below 10,000 feet. And that was a result of our actual data coming in and showing these problems. So the sterile cockpit rule was based on ASRS reporting many, many years ago. There's altitude deviations. One of the other things that happened is our analysts here identified that there were some altitude deviations, which is our number one reported item here, that seemed to be clustering around confusion between 10,000 feet and 11,000 feet.
Hmm.
And that's when new phraseology was adopted by the FAA of 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Before, they didn't add that 10,000, and they didn't add the 11,000. That clarified that whole issue, now we don't have that kind of blip up in that area. And that was definitely a human factors issue.
Well, is it all U.S.-based? So what does a pilot do if they make a mistake while flying outside the U.S.? Can he or she file a U.S. report and still find immunity from a foreign agency seeking action on the pilot?
That is not in place, although it's been discussed. We have U.S. pilots reporting to us about foreign incidents. So it's basically they were in a foreign country and they had something happen, difficulties with approaches or understanding, language barriers, all kinds of different things come in here. That does not make them immune from those countries' process. That's all kind of managed through ICAO and through the country and the FAA and the country and the airline.
Well, what's the core idea behind immunity anyway?
Mostly, it is to stimulate reporting, to incentivize and motivate people to actually put the pencil to the paper, in a sense, and get a report in describing what happened to them, knowing that they are completely de-identified and confidentially protected.
So that if a mistake is made, their first interest isn't sweeping it under the rug, but hopefully using it to make sure the mistake doesn't happen again?
Right, right. Get it to the ASRS. We can move it up, protecting everyone involved, to higher levels, to say there's a flaw in the system, there's a discrepancy or deficiency, and there's a kind of a philosophy throughout aviation now, which is, an accident happens due to a series of events that link together, like in a chain of events, or there's actual holes and layers of the aviation And if something can get through all of those or line up, you're going to have an accident. So the effort is here is to look at incidents, which are near accidents, and begin to solve those problems ahead of time and make this safer overall.
Well, the whole idea about immunity must provide you with some very interesting or bizarre stories. Do you have any that you can recall off the top of your head?
Well, you can actually go in the database and read many stories around several safety topics, and they're all kind of interesting to watch people, their understanding of the system or anything, and read them and go, sometimes, most of the time I read them and I go, that could have happened to me. Mm. I would have had that same kind of misunderstanding. Others, you kind of go, how is that possible that they didn't know this certain item? You know, it's almost like aviation speak in a way. You got to know how the words come together. But one we can think of was a commercial crew who were in Russia, and they ended up with icing problems, and the airport was out of the icing fluid. And so they were asking around the airport, you know, well, what are we going to do? You know, we need to leave and take off, and we need to de-ice the wings, et cetera. And some inventive Russian came out with cases of vodka. And they dumped the vodka all over the wings in order to de-ice the airplane. And we were sitting here and just like, what? It worked. And they were able to take off.
Well, now there's the foreign agency coming into play there. I guess yeah. They aren't concerned over there.
Actually, this month I'm hosting our international group of confidential systems. There are 12 countries that are working together with us here that have ASRS type systems, and they run them to be kind of a member of our international confidential aviation safety systems group. You have to have a system that's a national-based system that's confidential, voluntary, and non-punitive. And those 12 countries come together every year, and we share what are kind of our top 10 safety issues.
Is there an easy way for any pilot to find out what countries are and are not involved?
Yeah, actually, on our website at asrs.arc.nasa.gov, you can look under international. There's an international link, and that indicates all the countries that have these systems. Now, what I'm trying to do is find a way that we can all share data, literally. Mm. And I have to tell you, that's been very difficult. And you would think this group that shares all these commonalities, kind of the same mentality, would be able to easily, you know, start sharing. But there are so many political issues with national boundaries and aviation.
Tell us a little bit about ASRS Callback.
Okay. That is one of our products under publications, and it is very famous. It's award-winning because of its kind of tone of being slightly humorous to get us all to laugh at ourselves and the things we get ourselves into. But to also teach, and it's only a 2-page newsletter that comes out monthly, and it's also on the website, and it's trying to describe some of the events we've seen in the system, or some topic area we're going to highlight. Like, we at least once a year we try to deal with cabin crew issues. Another third of the time we're dealing with GA issues. Then we have air carrier. Air carrier puts 62% of the reports in here. And then we have maintenance. So we have different issues throughout the year trying to address some of these issues from all of the community that are reporting to us. But they're meant to be safety lessons learned kind of articles. That's one kind of product that comes out of here. It's quite famous. It's called the NASA Blue Sheet. Now, we have run into an issue with it this year. The postage costs were running us $250,000, and we've had to stop.
And it's a free publication?
It is a free publication. Mm-hmm. So we've had to stop the mailing of the callback, and we're encouraging everyone to go to our website and sign up for what we call a callback notification. And then when the new issue gets posted, we'll just send out a message that it's sitting on the website for them to read, download, and print. And I kind of hate to go that way with this because it's been such a community favorite, but I've just gotten to a spot where I couldn't
see it. Well, so for now it's not sent out as a print publication and it's not sent out as an email. It's just sent out as be aware that it's on the website. Is that it?
Yeah, what we tried not to do is kind of load up everybody's emails with the whole issue. So you just click a link and it goes right to that issue. Mm-hmm. So it's the e-technology kind of interface.
And where can we find that online?
Yes, at the same asrs.arc.nasa.gov.
Excellent.
And ARC stands for Ames Research Center, which is the NASA Research Center here at Moffett Field in Northern California.
All right. Well, Linda Connell, did we miss anything? Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I just would encourage people to report to the system. It is a no jeopardy system, win-win, and just keep the cards and letters coming. If your report is actually selected for an alert, we will call you back and discuss kind of the whole conditions and situation and context of the event to kind of make you aware that we're planning to alert and to make sure that our de-identification is solid.
Now, people find the form, the actual ASRS reporting form, online?
Yes, you can find it online. In fact, now you can electronically submit your report.
Excellent.
So you actually can fill it out online and hit the submit button. And we have an incredibly secure protocol. In fact, I waited a number of years to make sure I had the best. In fact, the NASA Jet Propulsion Lab helped me with some of that security to make sure it was cutting edge. You will receive back a very long string of numbers for a verification code that basically says, if you want to call us or email us and check that we did receive that number in our system, we can verify that we did. It is not your actual receipt for kind of legal proof. That comes back through the ID strip that will be returned in the mail.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to IFR's conversation with Linda Connell, Director of the Aviation Safety Reporting System at NASA's Ames Research Center. To learn more about this and other topics important to instrument flight and accomplished pilots, subscribe to IFR Magazine. You can check it out online at www.ifr-magazine.com. Comments to audionews@avweb.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.